Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this week from the Marital Discord Department here at Car Talk Plaza.
What? What did I do now?
Oh, no, nothing. Well, as far as I know,
I mean,
nothing.
I don't even have a marital right now. I'm between maritals.
Relax. This isn't about you. This is about our good friend Peppy.
Ah.
Otherwise known as the Pep.
Yeah.
His name is really Joe, but he's been known by other names like the Sheetrock King, Joey Jackets, Shakwabal. I guess that's from his golf days.
Yeah.
And this is a story that was recently told to me by his wife, Antoinette, because I really didn't ever know the whole truth.
Oh.
And nothing but the truth. So I will reveal it as best I can.
Yeah.
And without allowing the truth to get in the way of a good story. But as far as I know, this is all true. Some of the facts may be a little bit off.
Is this the story about snow?
This is a story about snow, and I did get permission from both of them to use their names.
Oh, you did?
So our friend Pep had long lusted after a Lincoln Town Car. He'd always wanted one. He had had some nice Oldsmobiles and the like, and you know, but he always wanted a Lincoln Town Car.
Yeah, he's Italian.
Exactly. As an Italian-American, I mean, who wouldn't want a Lincoln Town Car?
I don't.
And he, well, there you go. He finally got a car that was in reasonably good shape, but it needed a lot of stuff. He paid a fair amount of money for it, but did have a lot of work done to the body, had the entire car painted. And
yeah.
I remember we did a whole bunch of work rebuilding the front end of the car. It was pretty nice.
I remember.
And it was the apple of his eye. And he drove it, and of course, being their only car, his wife, Antoinette, would drive it too. And Pep had a job working at the airport, which required him to get up very early in the morning. And so he would often go to bed at, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock at night. Well, one of these nights while he was sound asleep, his wife and Pep's sister, who I guess I can name too, even though I didn't get permission, Celia.
Sure.
We were out having a night on the town, so to speak. And I don't know how what confluence of forces got to work here, but maybe it was the fact that they might have had a few too many sombreros or something, but they were driving home to Pep's house, and because it was snowing, Celia decided that she didn't want Antoinette to drive her home. Rather, she was going to stay over at their house.
Yeah.
And it was maybe the snow, maybe the slickness of the roads, the fact that the sand and salt trucks hadn't been out. Antoinette miscalculated on a turn and wiped out the entire driver's side of the car on a telephone pole. And so they park in front of the house as people in our fair city tend to do, not having driveways and most residences. And she left the car there figuring, I can't wake him up now. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. What am I going to do? Wake him up, say, hey, Pep, I smashed up the car. Oh, try to go back to sleep so you can go to work in a few hours. I'll let it sit until the morning and we won't worry about it.
Yeah.
So she goes to bed. Celia goes to sleep. And the next morning, bright and early, Pep gets up because he's going to go to work. And as luck would have it, it snowed about 15 inches that night.
Yeah.
You can see what the rest of the story is going to hold. The car is completely covered with snow. And even better, the snow plow has plowed the car in on the driver's side. Oh. So it's completely covered with icy, crusted snow that is frozen overnight.
Beautiful.
And Pep goes out early that morning. Of course, Celia and Antoinette are, sleeping it off.
Of course.
He's up bright and early. He's going to get to work. And he is removing very carefully the snow and ice from the car, being careful not to scratch the, brand new paint job. And as he peels away very carefully the snow, he reveals the left front fender all smashed in. Now in a frenzy, and without the use of the shovel, he's got his ungloved hands and he's tearing away at the snow to reveal the door all smashed in, and the rear door all smashed in. He goes into a rage. He flings the shovel. He comes into the house. He screamed, my car is ruined, my car is all smashed up. And Antoinette, of course, is awakened by this, and she has to confess. And she says, Pep, I can, and she's about to say, explain everything, when he says, the snowplow hit my car. She says, I can feel your pain, Pep. I can feel He says, I'll get to the bottom of this no matter what it takes. I'm going to call the city. I'm going to file a civilian complaint. Well, of course, nothing ever came of it. No one ever owned up to hitting his car because no one had.
No one had. It was already hit.
Fast forward to about 10 years later, during which time Antoinette and Pep's sister Celia had harbored this dark secret and never revealed to Pep.
She never told him?
Never told him. And I think at the occasion may have been the birth of their first grandchild, while he's holding the youngster in his arms, and he's full of happiness and joy. Antoinette says, oh, by the way, remember that night
the
snowplow hit your Lincoln? That wasn't what happened. And she tells the truth. And, of course, the moral of the story is, if you're going to confess to something awful, pick the right time. Who's this on the line? Is we... Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I remember that like it was yesterday. I was happy holding my grandkid, but I'll tell you, it reverted back to those days when I wasn't too thrilled about what took place that day.
Oh, it brought you back. How long did it take you? Did you forgive her?
Well, I have to now. We're too old to do anything else, so I got to forgive her, you know? But what kills me more, though, is that my sister held on to that. She never told me. My blood.
Your own flesh and blood.
My own flesh and blood. She held on to that secret along with her sister-in-law.
Oh, boy. It shows that womanhood is stronger than brotherhood and sisterhood.
That old saying that blood is thicker than water. Well, I guess you can throw that out the window.
Pep, we feel your pain, man. And you're a good sport for letting us tell the story.
I think if anybody had a camera on my face, I would have loved to have seen the expression on my face now.
It would be interesting.
Well, according to Antoinette, even from inside the house, she could hear the words. And I can't repeat them on National Public Radio.
Well, you know, Tony Soprano's ears would even cringe at what I was saying.
Oh, Pep, you're a good sport, man.
Okay, guys.
Take it easy.
I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Boy, he got on in a hurry. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Megan.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Have you ever harbored a secret of that magnitude for that long?
I can't say that I have, no.
You can't say or you can't? You didn't?
Never mind. We don't want to know.
Exactly.
Where are you from again?
Austin, Texas.
Oh, Austin. Okay. Huh. One of my favorite towns.
Yeah, it's a nice place. I just moved here.
It is a nice place.
You guys had some pretty intense heat last week.
Yeah, we've already beaten the hottest number of days on record for a summer, and summer's not even over yet.
And you're still alive, right?
Yeah, barely. Oh,
thank God for air conditioning.
Exactly.
Anyway, what's cooking?
Okay, I have a 2005 Scion XA.
Okay.
And I also have a bad habit of running over curbs. And thereby having to replace tires.
You mean when you're in a park, you end up climbing the curb or just
No, I'll be parked at the traffic light, go, and then all of a sudden, oops, there's the median.
Okay.
Yeah. So the thing is, last time I did it, I had to get the front driver's side, both the actual wheel and the tire replaced, and the back side, I had to get the wheel and the tire repaired.
What, are you blind or what?
No, I drive with too much enthusiasm.
Oh, you're a lead foot.
Yeah.
So you zoomed away from this traffic light.
Yes, with Pep. I have Pep. But the thing is, now, when they did it, they said that they checked my alignment. But now, anytime I get over 65, it starts to, the wheel starts to shimmy, you know, like a really bad dancer. And
right.
The faster I go, the more it does it.
Can you feel the steering wheel shake?
Yes.
Well, it's not the alignment that did it. I mean, a car being out of alignment could, I suppose, ultimately do this. Out of alignment car.
It wouldn't make it vibrate like that.
It could wear out the tires to the point where then they could be so far out of true that they could vibrate and cause this condition. But more likely, you have a wheel that's damaged and or one that didn't get balanced correctly.
When I had it done and I noticed the problem, I took it back.
Yeah.
And they said it was fine.
Well, tell them they're wrong.
Yeah, you have to take them for a ride in the car.
Okay.
It clearly didn't do this before.
No.
And it might, it may be some other indiscretion that's causing it. That maybe there was something else you bent. It's possible, I suppose, that you bent a tie rod. But when they did this, did they align it afterwards?
Yeah, they said they did.
I think you need to go someplace else. And I would take it someplace and tell them what's going on. Ask them to take a ride with you.
Okay.
They can drive the car. You can ride shotgun. And you can say, that's what's going on. And the person will say, oh, yeah, you've got a tire or a wheel out of balance. And maybe the wheel they sold you was faulty.
Oh.
And if that's the case, there's no fixing that.
Okay. I kept the papers, so they should have to replace it.
Yeah, I would go, if these guys aren't giving you the satisfaction, I would certainly go someplace else and ask them to check it all out as if nothing had happened.
Okay.
And they'll tell you what's wrong with it.
Great.
Good luck, Megan.
Thank you.
Stay out of the hot sun.
Okay, bye-bye.
See you later. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Yusuf, and I'm calling from Flowery Branch, Georgia.
Flowery Branch.
Yeah, it's about an hour northeast of Atlanta, and it's actually famous for having the Atlanta Falcons training camp is located here.
Oh, and is it named appropriately?
There's a lot of trees. I don't know about flowers.
Oh, all right. So what's up, Yusuf?
I have a 99 Ford F-150. It's got about 196,000 miles on it.
Mm.
And recently it was kind of running a little rough, when you start it up. Just kind of a little shudder when you start it up. And I figured maybe it's time to change out the spark plugs. I've had it for only about 50,000 miles of that life. So I figured I'd go in there and change them. And a lot of them look like they'd never been changed before. So I went out and bought some spark plugs. And they specifically said on them, do not re-gap. Mm-hmm. And, of course, when I went through and measured with my feeler gauge the gap on these spark plugs, it was not within the manufacturer's specifications. So,
really?
Of course, it was a little off. It was probably about 5 thousandths off. So I went ahead and re-gapped them. And I'm trying to figure out, was that a smart thing or not so smart thing to do?
Well, how big was the printing?
Because I could read it.
But was it bigger than the surrounding printing? In other words, was it bold type so that you would notice it and
like,
obey
it? Like, did
it
say, do not re-gap? Or did it just say, don't re-gap?
Yeah, what was your interpretation? Because that's obviously your interpretation was, don't re-gap,
but
don't take it seriously.
I didn't take it seriously because it was wrong.
Did you buy these plugs from Ford?
No, I bought them from a aftermarket store, but they are name brand.
So they're like Motorcraft plugs or Champions or
they're NGKs.
Were they all 5 thousandths off?
Yeah. They were consistently
you did the right thing. They're probably the wrong plugs, and your engine's going to melt in 6 months.
Great.
So you didn't have NGKs in there?
No, it had some Motorcraft, and a couple of them were Autolites.
NGK, I'm sure, makes a plug for this truck.
Yeah.
But you may not have bought it. Well, you may have bought one number off, and that's maybe why the gap was off.
And if you've changed these plugs, do you think I'm going to go back and change these out?
No, I don't think so. They were a pain, weren't they?
Absolutely. It took about 4 hours to do.
Oh, you have a V8?
I have a V8, a 5.4 liter.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. That's...
Yeah, just keep driving. Well, I would go back to the place where you bought them and ask them again to check. Are these really the right plugs?
And have them not look it up by application, but rather look at what's called the cross-reference chart. So they can, if you have one of your old plugs, I'm sure you saved a couple, right?
Maybe. They were pretty nasty.
You flung them all, right? good son.
They're all in your driveway. You'll find one. Just keep.
Yeah, get a metal detector. So if you should find one of these Motorcrafts or Autolite spark plugs that was in there, you can verify that the NGK number, hopefully, is matched up, is in fact a perfect replacement.
Right.
And if it is, you did the right thing to re-gap them. So the gaps were all too big?
Yeah, but the instructions when they said because you could damage the electrode. It's got one of those really tiny little electrodes, looks like about the size of the head of a pen.
The center electrode.
The center electrode,
yeah,
right.
You didn't touch that, did you?
Well, you kind of necessarily have to touch it a little bit.
Yep, the only time you have to touch it is to put the gauge in there. And I think what they're worried about is when you put the gauge in there to check to see if you've done it correctly, it's very easy to break off not that center electrode, but the insulator around it. And that's why they don't want you monkeying with them.
Mm.
How does it run now?
I still got a shutter when I start it up. It runs better overall. But it does have a little shudder still when I start it up. It goes away probably after about 20, 30 seconds or so.
And you've got, let me check this. You have 196,000 miles on it.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you, Lucky Stars, and keep driving.
You need a hobby. You need a hobby. Yeah, you know.
Yeah. Why don't you take a piano tuning?
Yeah, I'm guessing you have a dirty injector or two. And that's probably more responsible for the rough running. A bad plug would more likely manifest itself as a miss at high speed.
So you tell me I didn't have to do a four-hour job on this thing now?
No, you didn't have to do that. No.
Yeah.
But leave the injector. Don't go taking any injectors out. Put some cleaner in there.
Okay.
There are lots of cleaners available for injectors, and hopefully that'll take care of it.
And hope for the best.
And buy that piano tuning tool. See,
you're going to love piano tuning.
Oh, you are. You know what? It's very soothing and peaceful. You'll hardly ever smash a knuckle on anything. And you won't swear much.
And you do most of it indoors.
Right.
Oh, wonderful.
You don't have to worry about the winter or none of that stuff.
See you, man.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
See you.
All right, look, before we take another call, we have to pause and give our stations a chance to get a word in edgewise.
Oh, you mean, is this where they come on and they plead with their listeners not to demand their pledges back?
Oh, yeah, and lots of other things, too.
Well, when we come back, I'll have an interesting letter about what some people associate with car talk.
I'm not sure I want to know what this is.
I don't think you do. But it's coming up along with more car questions right after this short break.
And even though NPR's president pulls out his ball-peen hammer and starts whacking his click-and-clack bobbleheads whenever he hears us say it, why, you no good. This is NPR, National Public Radio. Hey, if you find yourself thinking, you know, this show gets worse every time I hear it, why not check out some classic shows from our archives, like when we used to be good?
When was that?
It's just a figure of speech, you know?
You can download any show from the Car Talk archives at cartalk.com. Just click where it says, listen to the show.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and perhaps strange bedfellows.
Yeah, this is a letter from a guy named Kevin Greenlees. He says this, I don't know if you guys use Gmail, but if you do, you know about the ads that appear in the right-hand column on your screen when you view your emails.
Mm-hmm.
They somehow cater towards my interests by analyzing the content of each individual email that I read, noticing keywords and using those terms as filters to bring up relevant advertisements. If I'm reading an email about my credit history, for example, it lists credit reporting businesses. If I'm reading my iTunes receipt, it lists ads for other music download services.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for some reason, when I read my weekly Car Talk Puzzler email, the following list of ads appears. 1. Prevent runner's diarrhea. Learn what causes runner's diarrhea and how to prevent it. 2. Constipation info. Find constipation causes, relief and treatments for constipation. 3. Bloating, gas, flush away 20 pounds. Improve health and remove toxins. Try colon cure free. Now, how do you explain this?
Well, the explanation seems to be pretty. This seems to be a one-to-one correspondence between what our show is and what these ads all deal with. I don't think there's any explanation beyond that that's necessary. Hey, for those of you who are yearning for a puzzler right about now.
You think anybody yearns for one of your puzzlers?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the word yearn is a little strong. How, you know.
Well, how about for those of you who aren't dead set on avoiding a puzzler.
That works. Anyway, while the puzzler is away, you can find a classic puzzler posted every week on our website, cartalk.com. So check that out.
And if you run across something amusing, I'm always looking for entertaining stuff to read while I'm sitting on my park bench during the week.
Well, you're not just going to use the stuff people send in at, like, covers, are you?
No, no. I got two copies of last Sunday's paper for that.
Oh, okay. So you're actually going to read the stuff that people take the trouble to send in? Is that what I'm letting you
read? I am. But then after I read it, I might ball it up and use it as a pillow.
Okie doke.
So if you see something I might want to read, send it to me at Mail for Tommy, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Ah, my line, our fair city.
Massachusetts, 02238. Or you can email me from cartalk.com.
But if you have a question about your car, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Mike from Vienna, Virginia.
Hi, Mike. What's going on, man?
I'm calling about a 2006 Subaru Impreza WRX.
Uh-huh.
Back in March, the clutch went out, and it sort of ground to a stop, and I called up the dealership, and they told me to bring it in, obviously.
And you said, how?
It was under warranty by about 150 miles. So I was at $35,850, and I managed to muscle it into the dealer as best I could. It was about 5 miles away.
Yeah.
And at first they were going to say that was a wear and tear item, that they wouldn't cover it.
Yeah, but they did.
They did, for some special circumstances and because I gave them a lot of grief. And it was working great after I got it back, after about a week or so. And about 1,000 miles later, I started to hear this little noise. And I couldn't tell where it was coming from. It was just sort of a little chirp, 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 chirp. Chirp, chirp. And I heard it, you know, when I was driving down the street with my windows open. It was bouncing off of cars. It was bouncing off of different things. And I had no idea where it was coming from. And I noticed that when I started to depress the clutch, it would go away.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let the clutch out, it would come back. And now, you know, a few months and a few thousand miles later, it's chirping all the time.
So it's chirping all the time except when you just lightly touch the pedal.
Doesn't take much.
Yeah, what's happening is, is one of the fingers, let's go back a couple of steps. I think Subaru replaced this clutch for you because they've been having trouble with weak pressure plates. But they probably did it hurriedly and replaced only the pieces that they absolutely had to. And maybe they didn't replace the release bearing, or maybe the release bearing is not sitting properly on the little clips that hold it. So what's happening, I think, is one of the fingers from the brand new pressure plate they put in is impinging upon the clutch release bearing, and that's the chirping you're getting.
Well, when I brought it in, and one of the reasons why they were initially balking at the notion of covering it underneath warranty is that the flywheel was sort of bluish and showed signs of burning.
Of course,
right?
Right.
Yeah.
Once the clutch starts slipping, everything's going to turn blue. So they must have replaced the flywheel, too.
Yes, I'm pretty sure. They did the whole sort of...
They did a flywheel, they did a driven disc, they did a clutch cover or a pressure plate. Did they do a release bearing as well?
Why not?
Well, I don't know. Is it on your receipt? If they could have. My guess is they screwed something up because it was a warranty job. They said, slap a clutch in this idiot's car and let's get rid of him. And they may have done something wrong.
Okay.
Either that or one of the parts is faulty. So you have to go back.
I felt so guilty going back since they sort of...
Oh, I know.
Well, I know. They seem like they've done something for you that they shouldn't have only because you were such a nice guy. But they should have done it, and they're going to have to do it again.
Got it.
But, you don't have to go in there and yell and scream.
No, tell them you're going to sue their sorry butts.
No, you can yell and scream after they refuse to do it. But the fact of the matter is that in order to rectify this, the entire job needs to be done over again, at least in terms of the labor. They're going to have to take the whole thing apart.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do that real quick, but driving it around, I'm not causing necessarily further damage.
No, I don't believe so, unless the noise changes. If it changes, get in there ASAP.
I'm getting in there ASAP anyways. Right down the street.
Good.
You know what to do? Bring your sleeping bag. Sleep in the car overnight so you'll be there first thing in the morning when they wake up.
I love it.
See you, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
Take care. Bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Nigel calling from Los Angeles.
What's your name again?
Nigel.
Nigel, isn't that a guy's name?
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, duh.
Because it is a guy's name.
Yeah, not in this case.
Well, I mean, I've known a lot of guys named Nigel. I've never met a woman named Nigel.
You know, I never have either. I mean, the only one I know.
So how did you get the name Nigel?
Well, you'd have to talk to my parents about that one, but yeah. I will tell you there's some odd names in my family.
Like what?
You got a brother named Sue?
No. Well, I do have someone in my family named after a car.
Oh, yeah? And what would that be?
I told her I wouldn't tell.
Oh, her.
Her.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can guess it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Porsche.
No, Porsche would be. How about Camaro?
Now, that's funny that you should say Camaro, because my question involves a Camaro.
Okay, I think your sister's name is Honda.
Well, it's actually not that weird, except that she was named before the car came out. She was born in the 50s, and she was named Jetta, J-E-T-T-A.
No kidding.
I like Jetta.
Yeah,
she's all right, because she was there before the car.
Exactly. Yeah.
And we don't know what a Jetta is, so it hardly makes a difference.
Oh, see, there you go.
So what's wrong with your Camaro, Nigel?
Well, it's not my Camaro. The problem is that my fella and I, we're moving cross-country to North Carolina in a couple months. And we're going to be driving my F-150. And the problem is that he's got a 1979 Camaro, and he's very attached to it, and he wants to tow it behind the truck.
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about towing and what would be involved with attaching it. And then my other question was, with gas mileage,
yeah.
You know, what kind of effect is it going to have?
Oh, it's going to have a tremendous effect.
But not as bad as driving two cars cross-country.
Right.
It's certainly going to be better than that. I mean, the cheapest way to get it to North Carolina is probably to tow it. May not be the safest thing to do, especially if you feel uncomfortable about it. But there are lots of ways you can tow it. You can tow it a la the tow trucks where, you know, two or four wheels stay on the ground, or you can put it on a trailer.
Right.
Are you also going to be bringing all your earthly possessions with you?
Oh, well,
yeah, you can put those in the Camaro.
yeah, this
That's
is true.
Right.
So the Camaro weighs like 3,000 pounds, and you can put another 3,000 pounds of stuff in it.
I think that's a fantastic idea. No, we're having everything shipped.
How old is the F-150?
It's an OT4.
An OT4. What size engine? You have like a 5.4-liter engine?
Yes.
You do.
Any idea how many miles on it?
Yeah, it's about 43,000.
43,000, and you're getting about 12 miles per gallon.
And you'll get about 6 if you drag the car behind you.
Yeah, you might. No, yeah. It won't be that much worse. You'd be surprised. I mean, the drop in mileage is kind of an asymptotic thing. I mean, it won't go much below about 7 or 8, I bet. No matter how you could pull maybe the whole state of California and you'd get 5. So if you feel confident in driving, pulling a 3,000-pound car plus the trailer,
then what do you do with the trailer?
Right.
But you don't have to use a trailer. You can tow it on the ground. And you've probably seen RVs towing around, like Toyota Corollas.
Yes.
And there's a hitch, and it's attached to the frame. And the only thing they advise you to do is to disconnect the drive shaft so that the wheels are not turning the transmission.
Okay, sure.
So, I mean, if you feel confident that you can do that, that's going to be the cheapest way to get it out there. And you would go to a place like U-Haul or whatever and rent the tow bar. And they'd hook it all up for you and make sure that it's safe. And you drive it around town for a few days. And if you say, I can't do this, you bring it back and you return everything. And if you think you can do it, you take off.
Yeah,
that's
take it on the
idea.
Highway to see what it feels like.
Yeah, change lanes with it. Cut off a few buses. get the full flavor of the whole experience. I mean, you're going to have to do everything to find out, drive it in the rain if you can, and see what it's like.
I was really hoping that you'd be on my side with this one. Oh, no, he's crazy. What are you talking about? Sell the car.
Well, is that an option?
He loves the car.
No, he's not going to get rid of the car.
No.
I will take your advice, and because I definitely trust it, so I'm willing to experiment.
Well, how serious are you with this guy?
I knew you were going to ask that.
Well, because we don't want to put you in danger if you're going to dump him on the way.
Well, I guess that depends on how he behaves on the road.
Ah. That's good. This will be
by the,
a wonderful
by the
test.
Way, this will tell you a lot.
You ain't kidding.
This will tell you a lot. By the time you get to say, I'm going to say St. Louis.
I thought Kansas.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, maybe Colorado. You may decide to turn back. Or you may decide that he's going to turn back and you're going to North Carolina. This trip could be a very...
It could mean everything.
Yeah.
This could change your whole life.
And yet another reason to have both vehicles.
Well, exactly. That's the reason. Because if he has to, you have to get rid of him, you can just...
He's got a way home.
Unhook him, put the drive shaft in, and point him in the other direction. Good luck, Nigel.
Thank you, guys.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Giorgio. I'm calling from Sable, Long Island, New York. And I own a 124 Fiat Spider convertible, 1967.
67, 10 years older than mine.
I bought it like in 68, used it. The reason I'm calling, the guy never put a fifth gear. He don't even know it was a fifth gear there.
did it have a fifth gear?
Yes. Oh, twin cam and everything. But I'm having a little problem with the fuel pump. I already replaced it, two or three of them. Because I don't drive them in the winter, so when the summer comes, you know, the fuel pump give me a little problem. I was thinking to replace it with an electric fuel pump. Can I do that?
Yes, you can. The fuel pump on this vehicle is driven by the camshaft.
Oh, yes, right.
Right, but you can just eliminate that.
No.
But leave the pump there.
For the cover, right?
Right, otherwise there's going to be a hole there, and you lose all your oil.
All your fuel. Why was it not working? What was it doing?
No, it doesn't work. You know, but sometimes I have to, like, jump start with a little gasoline in the carburetor. Put my hand on top. And then, believe it or not, when I do that on the beginning of the season, she start to work.
You know what? I'll tell you what's wrong.
Yeah.
And you need to leave both fuel pumps in the circuit. You need an electric pump.
Right.
Between your fuel pump and the gas tank.
Oh.
So the gas is drawn from, by the electric pump, is drawn from the serbatoio, you know, it comes from the tank.
Okay.
Okay, and then gets pushed gently into the mechanical pump.
Wonderful.
And then when you start the engine, both pumps will run. But this other pump needs to be a very small pump. It doesn't have to be very powerful.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
So you need something that will pump maybe 1 or 2 pounds per square inch.
Yes, because I can't find parts too much for this car, you know. I found more parts here in the United States than in Italy, believe it or not.
I know, that's sad, isn't it?
But this is my old Paul, you know, I drove maybe 300,000 kilometers with this car.
So this is your only car?
No, it's not my only car.
No, the other car is a Lexus, right?
Yes. No.
Yeah.
We have a Subaru and a Caddy.
So. Oh, okay.
There you go.
And
it's a wonderful car, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so joyful to drive. You know,
especially in the summer.
When you don't mind breaking down.
No, I'm so lucky with that car because I drove a lot of Europe, you know, and I rely on that car like my leg.
It must be a little frightening on the autostrada.
Autostrada, no, she's still good.
That could do it to you.
Yeah, but it's one of the first 1,000 cars made by Fiat. It's called a prototype.
Oh, really?
Oh, really?
Well, you know, but I thought you would be the best one to tell me, you know, what to do. And
now you know.
We appreciate it.
Excellent.
Thank you, guys.
Ma è ruginata ancora, o no?
È ruginata, no, è tutta buona.
Tutta buona.
Good, still good.
Va bene.
No, I know Fiat, it was not very famous, you know, in this country, unfortunately. They didn't make a good things, but, you know, hey.
No, I didn't want to embarrass you by using the English words. I figured your neighbors might not know, you know.
Well, most of the Fiats that were in this country
just
rusted away.
Yes, you're right.
I know. But yours is the exception, and we're hoping Tommy's rusts away.
But only because I import it, that's why.
Well, mine did rust away, and we rebuilt it.
What were we thinking?
I don't know, you know. But it's still fun to take it out, you know.
It is great.
You know. Good and guess now.
Oh, yeah, for
Thanks
sure.
Thanks for calling, Giorgio.
Thank you again.
Ciao, buon futuro.
Ciao, arrivederci.
Arrivederci.
Have a nice day.
All right, before we mess up any more listeners' cars, we have to take a short break.
Why? Are we over our quota?
No, we can mess up three or four more today and still be under the limit, you know.
Oh, good, good.
Well, we'll get back to that in a few minutes, along with an interesting puzzler suggestion.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you a pothole or a ramp? Are you a pothole or a ramp? Do you want to help me fly or trip me up until I cramp? Are you a pothole or a ramp? Are you a speed bump or a light? Are you a speed bump or a light? Do you only slow me down or show me everything's all right? Are you a speed bump or a light?
And even though con artists everywhere wonder how we got away with this one, every time they hear us say it, this is NPR National Public Radio. Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and a puzzler suggestion.
I have a puzzler suggestion.
Oh, I don't think I want your puzzler suggestion.
Well, I suggest you take the puzzler and
That's what I thought you were going to suggest. No, as you know, I've often asked our listeners to send in puzzlers that I might be able to use someday. And over the years, I've used and obfuscated many of them.
Yes, you have.
But here's one written by a guy named Alan that I'm not sure I can even obfuscate properly. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
Pay attention.
I'm paying attention.
100 prisoners are each locked in a room with 3 pirates, one of whom will walk the plank in the morning. Each prisoner has 10 bottles of wine, one of which has been poisoned, and each pirate has 12 coins, one of which is counterfeit and weighs either more or less than a genuine coin. You with me so far?
No.
In the room is a single switch, which the prisoner may either leave as it is or flip. Before being led into the rooms, the prisoners are all made to wear either a red hat or a blue hat. They can see all the other prisoners' hats, but not their own. Meanwhile, a 6-digit prime number of monkeys multiply until their digits reverse, then all have to get across a river using a canoe that can hold at most 2 monkeys at a time, but half the monkeys always lie and the other half always tell the truth. Given that the nth prisoner knows that one of the monkeys doesn't know that a pirate doesn't know the product of 2 numbers between 1 and 100 without knowing that the n plus 1th prisoner has flipped a switch in his room, or not, after having determined which bottle of wine was poisoned and what color his hat is, what is the solution to this puzzler?
I think you forgot the mangles.
I think that pretty much is a synopsis of every puzzle that I've used in the last 28 years.
Yes, you could just take pieces of that.
And I think he just left out the mangoes. I don't know how he did that. Well, look, if you've got a car question, call us at 888-CAR-TALK. I think my feelings are hurt, but I'm not sure. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Ryan in Madison, Wisconsin.
Hi, Ryan. Hi. What's going on, man?
Well, I drive a 1980 Mercedes-Benz. It's a 240D.
Uh-huh.
It's a great old car with a good bit of miles on it. But lately I've noticed the shocks are basically shot, which hasn't really bothered me too much, except now it does an occasional squeaking sound and it's not as smooth of a ride. But my buddy who sold the car to me said that he heard you could add life to the shocks temporarily by placing tennis balls.
I can just tell you that your friend, I don't even want to hear it.
Yeah.
Whatever he said, he's crazy.
Tennis balls and the coils of the shock springs.
Yeah, sure.
Is this legit for a short-term fix?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we're talking like 6 blocks. Yeah. So what he wants to do is use the air pressure
in the
tennis balls to go between the coils of the springs. Is this the plan? So
yeah.
when you go over bumps, but the problem is not the spring. There's nothing wrong with the springs. If the shocks are gone and you hit a bump and the car continues to bounce,
I see.
Putting those tennis balls in, believe it or not, is going to make it worse.
Because now
the tennis balls are going to do...
They're going to prevent the spring from closing.
But they're also going to make the spring springier.
Right.
Right? Which is not what you want. The spring.
And your car could be off the ground. You could fly.
You might get airborne. You might get a little lift here, Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, your friend is a wacko.
Is there any need to really replace shocks if you don't mind a bumpy ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because shocks do a lot more than provide ride comfort. They make sure that the tires maintain road contact.
I see.
And when you have shocks that don't work very well, then the wheels are not on the ground very well. And
right.
That's bad.
And especially in wet weather. You've probably seen cars, if you're driving on a bumpy highway, for example, whose tires look like they're basketballs. Bum, 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 and they're constantly coming up off the pavement and then slamming back down again. Not only does it eventually ruin the tire, because every time the tire lifts off and gets reintroduced to the pavement, it gets scuffed. But when it is off the ground, it's pretty hard to steer the car. Or to have it go where you want it to go.
Yeah, it's pretty dangerous.
It's very dangerous, and it gets all that gets worsened when it's raining. So bad shocks are a problem in that sense. So they're not just the thing that determines how comfortable the ride is.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing on this car that you've got more than shocks that are gone.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I take good care of it. Right now, the brakes are getting worked on. But I'm a poor graduate student, so I was looking for a quick fix way out.
Yeah, well, we don't want you to be a dead graduate student.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got this car from whom?
Yeah, this is an old college friend's car. His grandfather bought it new.
Wow.
And then he turned it around and gave it to me.
He gave it to you.
Yeah.
That's pretty telling.
Well, you know, basically gave it to me.
Yeah.
You know. Well, see if you can find someone who knows how to work on it and replace the shocks at least.
And you may find out when they get in there that it needs ball joints, tie rod ends, and all that. But we may have to call your parents because this car
could be very dangerous.
Could be very dangerous. So find someone who knows the car and can at least advise you on the things that have to be replaced that could cause you bodily harm.
Sure.
And then call us back. We'll talk.
All right.
See you, Ryan.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Take care.
Bye bye.
Bye bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Kristen from Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah, what's up?
So I have a 99 Nissan Frontier, and a few months ago I got my brakes completely replaced and whatnot, and then about 3 weeks ago I got a broken lift spring replaced, and about a week after that my ABS system now randomly turns on. I mean, as high as fourth gear as I'm going down the highway. I was living up in the mountains, and basically on my way down from the mountains, my ABS system just started randomly turning on. It was basically on the entire 2.5 hours back to Boulder.
Well, here's an important question. Did you buy this truck because you live on the frontier and the name kind of made sense?
I actually bought my car in Boston.
Really?
But you had aspirations to live on the frontier.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So you were hoping when you got this thing that it would lead you, and in fact, it did. It conveyed you to the frontier.
It certainly did.
Yeah.
I thought it was appropriate. Yeah.
It was appropriate, yeah. So, but now doesn't seem to be working out too well. So you didn't buy this thing brand new. You bought it used.
No, I definitely bought it used about a year and a half ago.
Well, the fact that the brakes wore out is not unexpected, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaf spring could have happened if you overloaded the thing.
That's probably.
Probably what you did,
but
right?
She's not worried about either of those things.
You're worried now about the ABS, and it seems to be that
right.
It's, first of all, unrelated, I think, to the other things.
Okay.
So the ABS comes on now even on flat roads or city streets?
Right. Especially pretty much any time I'm in second gear, it'll turn on.
And you hear it go brrrr.
Yep.
And does it affect it does affect your stopping somewhat. In fact, it'll feel like it's not stopping in a sufficient distance.
Right,
because you have a sensor that's bad. One of the wheels, and it's telling the ABS computer that one of the wheels is locked up.
Okay,
and when that happens, what will happen is the brake pressure to that wheel will get reduced, and it will require that chattering of the ABS solenoids to allow the pressure to pass through the tubing that goes to the wheel, and then stop it, and then allow it, stop it, and it happens many, many times a second. And that's why you get that funny feeling in the pedal and that ratcheting sound. And it's happening because you need a sensor. And I'm sure
the
ABS...
And the good news is it's not going to cost you $1,000.
No, these are like $895. No,
yeah.
it's probably less than a couple of hundred. But you'll have to take it someplace where they can hook it up to a machine and scan it. The scan tool will determine which of the sensors is bad. But you need to get that fixed because now, if you need the ABS to work in a panic situation, it ain't going to work. So before the winter, when's winter coming? Like 2 weeks?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, yeah, so you need to get this ready because you may need it to avoid hitting a moose or something. So
get they have meese there in the boulder?
They have moose and meese. So get this thing to a shop, and they'll figure out. I'm pretty sure that one of the sensors is bad. We see this quite a bit on these things.
Okay.
And get it replaced, and you'll be good to go until the next thing breaks.
Yeah.
Good totally luck, agree. Kristen.
Thank you so much.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Pat from Malden.
From Malden, Massachusetts?
Yes, right around the corner.
No kidding.
Hey, Pat, what's
going on? We haven't had a call from Massachusetts for 20 years.
So do a good job, Pat.
So I got a domestic dispute with my fiance and I.
Ah.
Oh, already.
And actually, the wedding's in 2 weeks, so we need an answer soon, you know, or else.
Well, Pat, when we get through with you, there may not be a wedding. But go ahead. Let's hear it, man.
So she has a 2002 Saturn. It's an SL1, and it's an automatic. And I've grown up driving standards. And so I'm not necessarily used to when I pull up to the stop. Sometimes I just turn the car off and then put it into park. And she seems to think that I'm ruining her car. I don't know. I think that's kind of bogus, but... you know, just one additional thing. You know, I've been listening probably for at least 10 years longer than she has, so I hope that can, you know, affect
the
answer.
So you're ready to park the car. You stop.
I stop, turn the car off, and then forget that I haven't put it in the park, and then put it in the park.
Right, because your mindset is not in automatics.
Absolutely.
You're thinking manual transmission, and she thinks somehow you're...
What does she think?
Well, she thinks it's injurious, right?
Oh, absolutely. She thinks that it's ruining the car. And then one point the answer was, well, it's my car and this is how it's going to be. And then I said, well, let's give the car talk guy the car.
Whoa. Wait a minute. I have to. This is a very important question.
Having been married many times, I would say that you are in such deep doo-doo.
Well, let's find out something. How old are you, Pat?
I am 28 years old.
I was going to say he's in his 20s.
28. And I take it your fiance is of similar age?
Yeah, she's 28 as well.
And how long have you been going together?
Oh, it's about 10 years now.
10 years?
So you are like high school sweethearts, or maybe college.
We met on the first day of college.
Well, then I can't mess with that.
But when she said that you're damaging her car and it's my car, was there an angry tone or was it?
No, it was more just a matter of fact. You know, it's my car and this is how it's going to be for my car. If you want to do this with your own automatic.
You want to do something stupid with your car, go ahead. You want to go do something this stupid. She didn't use those words.
No, she didn't.
Oh.
So, but
maybe she's okay.
So you don't have a car.
No, I do. I have a Jetta. And it's standard.
So you can assure her that you're not doing any harm to anything.
Well, that's great.
Well, but the deeper question is...
I'm not going there.
No, here's the deeper question.
I am not going there.
When you form a union, as you're about to do in the coming days here...
Yeah.
What's yours and what's hers become ours.
Yeah.
Yes,
I mean, and there's no such thing anymore as yours and mine. The very fact that she doesn't know that yet is a little bit discouraging.
Well, actually, she's, you know, we were waiting on the answer for this.
Yeah.
From you guys.
And now that you
well, how she takes the answer might have a lot to do with how things work out for you.
I think I'm going to continue on with her request, but it's good to know that it's not doing any damage.
Yeah, but you I don't know, this may be, you may want to stand your ground here.
Because no, I don't like that approach.
Well, here's why I like it, and here's why it's correct.
That's why you've only been married once. And I've been married four times.
If you were wrong, or there was a chance that you were wrong, then you should cede ground. But if you are unquestionably right,
yeah,
you should not cede ground. You should not give in.
Oh.
You should tell her, look, if you want, I won't drive your car anymore. But I have spoken to the experts.
Yeah.
And they say there is nothing whatsoever. It isn't even, there's no, not even a chance that that's the slightest injurious thing that could result from this. And either I'm not going to drive your car, or you're going to just agree to let me put the thing in park whenever I want, unless I'm moving.
How are you going to break this news to her?
Oh, I don't think you should break it. I think we should.
It would be better.
Can you give us her phone number?
Yeah, absolutely.
Can we talk to her?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what's her name?
It's Rachel.
Rachel.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Give us her number off the air.
And we'll call her.
It's,
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on. Don't
Pat,
go anywhere.
You can hang on and pretend that you're not there.
Yeah, keep your big mouth shut.
That's good.
You're good. I love it.
He's a good sport, this guy. I like him already.
All right, let's call Rachel.
Hi, you've reached Rachel. Please leave me a message and I'll call you back.
Hello, Rachel. This is Tom and Ray from Car Talk, and we've been talking to Pat. And
yes, we have.
Yes, we have. And boy, are you lucky that you caught him just in time before he ruined your car. Because this idea of putting the thing in park after he shut it off is going to ruin your transmission. And it's grounds for calling off the whole wedding as far as we're concerned.
We just wanted you to know that you are absolutely correct.
Don't let him touch your car again. It's your car, Rachel, and whatever you say is the law.
And don't let him talk you into any other baloney. And that's it. And good luck to you and happy wedding.
Oh, you all set with that, Pat?
Yeah, that sounds great.
See you later.
Have a good one.
No, Pat, seriously. Just have her call us, and we'll tell her the truth.
Oh, yeah, we'll straighten her out. Don't worry, Pat. We wouldn't want your marriage to get off on the wrong foot. Take care, buddy.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
You're a good sport, man.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are Louis Cronin the Barbarian and David the Calves of Belleville Green.
Oh.
Our senior web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Greater Troy, steamed bok choy, chocolate soy, baked stuffed koi, deep fried poi, pork po' boy, ice Rob Roy, hoi polloi, lunch convoy, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of staff bonuses is Holly Unlikely. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luz Cruz. Our Mexican food taster is Don Juan Dos Tacos. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Louis Dewey, known to the Euro-flinging tourists in Harvard Square as Huey Louis Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And remember this, don't drive like my brother.
And especially, don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. CDs of the show, which is number 834, along with Car Talk clothing, audio collections, and other Car Talk gifts, are available at 888-CAR-JUNK or by going to the Shameless Commerce division of our website, cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, Car Talk's Roadside Survival Guide, in which we list everything you should have in your trunk just in case.
Yes, spare 381-piece toolkit.
Check.
100 meters of dynamic climbing rope with locking carabiners.
Check.
Folding Sikorsky helicopter with rollaway landing pad.
Check.
Complete set of Best of Car Talk CDs.
Come on, be realistic. Nobody's going to carry something like that around in his car.
Find out what we really recommend for your car's trunk in Click and Clack's definitive guide to roadside survival, all this week at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Michael Phelps starts flailing and calls for a lifeguard whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.